We don't have that much time. We only have about 4 hours, and we need to cover the entire Bible right now. And so, just kidding. Although, I would like to say, guys, fall in love with your Bible. Whose group was I with after morning devotions? I was with a whole other level. And we took it to a whole other level because I sat down with them. I was like, what do you guys want to learn about the Bible? Let's go. And so if you guys have any questions about the Bible, or if you would like to learn some cool, interesting facts, come find me at some point. And I'd love to just go with you through it and see God's here. And oh, look, God's here. And oh my gosh, God's here. Maybe in places you've never thought or realized. But tonight, I have something that I do want to talk to you about. I have something that I've been feeling for the past couple of days. As soon as I came up to camp, and I need your attention. Youth, I need your attention. Because there's a question being asked of you tonight. And all of heaven and all of hell is waiting to know the answer to this question. You need to understand that all of heaven right now is waiting to hear how you are going to respond to this question. And all of hell is waiting to hear how you are going to respond to this question. They're both asking the same question of you. Who do you think you are? See, Satan and the demons are asking, who do you think you are? You think you're strong? You think you're mighty? You think God loves you? Who do you think you are? And God's asking, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? After everything I've done for you, everything I've provided for you, who do you think you are? And I want to tell you that the world will tell you that in order to be someone, you have to do something. That, oh, well, I paint, so I'm a painter. Oh, well, I build houses, so I'm a house builder. I couldn't think of the word. See, you guys couldn't think of the word either. I heard construction worker, carpenter, mason. You need to understand that this is the question that will either allow you to fly or cause you to fall. Your answer to this question. Who do you think you are? Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis 1. You guys want to see something really cool? Actually, I'm going to give you a little teaser. Okay. Genesis 1. Have you ever thought about when does the Trinity come into the Bible? The Trinity. You guys know what the Trinity is? God the Father, God the Son, and God the? We. God the Father, God the Son, and God the?
Holy Spirit.
The first time I thought the Trinity was mentioned was in the New Testament. I would like to show you the Trinity in the Old Testament. Are you cool with that?
Yeah.
Genesis 1. Turn to Genesis 1. The group that I was with earlier this morning, you know this. Okay, there's a lot of movement going around. There's a lot of talking. I'm going to need you to stop. Counselors, you have permission. Split people up if you're talking. If you're talking, I will call you out from the front. I'm just letting you know. I do this because I love you, and you need to listen. So friends, countrymen, Romans, lend me your ears. Okay, don't actually throw them. That's weird. I saw a couple of kids trying to rip it off. Okay. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. That was deep. Let's try it again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the word used for God there is Elohim, God all-powerful, God almighty, God the one who can do it, otherwise known as God the... And the very next verse says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And now we have God the Holy Spirit." And the very next verse, "And God said, let there be light." God said, God spoke the word. Who's the word? Jesus, God the Son. And so right here in the first three verses of the Bible, we have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit right at the beginning. That's great. That's a little side note. You can clap, you can cheer. Cool. Okay. I want to let you know about something. Where is Storm? Storm, come on up. All right. And Storm, you're going to help me out here. Please get up on stage. Guys, isn't Storm amazing? He was pretty intense during the sword fighting game. And I think some of us saw a little bit more of Storm than we wanted to, but you know, whatever. Okay. I would now like to introduce you. Introducing, can I get a drum roll, please? Introducing God. Da, 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 da. Everyone, this is God.
What's up?
God looks like a pirate. Arr. Okay. God, and I'm going to use Matthew Taylor. Matthew Taylor, come on up. And this, my friends, is the story of creation. Now, we're all familiar with this. God created the heavens and the earth. He created the sky. He created the moon. He created the suns. He created trees. But I'm getting to us. He did create us, but, you know, he created trees, brush, bears, lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. Cats, puppies. I don't know if he created cats. They might have come after the fall. I don't know. Dinosaur, what? God created everything, everything. And that's on the sixth day. But God sees that it's not complete. No, sorry, it's on the fifth day. God sees that it's not complete. There's something missing. What is God going to do? Dun, 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 dun. And now here we have the story of the Bible opening up. What is going to happen? What's going to happen next? We see in creation that everything is, there's this entire movement in creation. You see that God first creates light, and then he starts creating these things. And each day, things get more and more complex and more intricate. And there's more and more things God's creating. And so finally, on the sixth day, we're wondering, if you're a first-time reader of the Bible, you're thinking, oh my goodness, this God is crazy. Like first, what's he making? First, he's making light, and then he's making an expanse between the waters. He's creating the land, and then he's creating the sky, and he's creating all these things. What's he going to do next? He's now creating the lights that hang in the sky. He's now creating birds, and he's now creating giraffes and elephants and platypuses. He's now creating all these things, and each time it gets more and more intricate. What is he going to create next? And so all of creation comes down to this on the sixth day. Everyone go, dun, 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 dun. This is what God does. It says, for every other part of creation, God spoke, and it happened. The word of God was sent forward, and things happened. But on the sixth day, God doesn't speak. God comes down, and he starts to form in the dust of the earth. He starts to draw something with his finger. He starts to create. He starts to mold. He starts to create. No, not yet. Get down. It's like Frankenstein. He's alive! Too soon, Matthew. Okay. God starts to create. And what does God say right before he comes to create men? Right before he comes to create women? What does he say? Come, let us make man in our image.
Let us make man in our image.
And so God came down. He starts to create and form out of the dust of the earth. And pretty soon, no, dude. Pretty soon you see this body taking shape on the ground. And the first human is formed, but he's not alive. And God says, let us breathe life into him. And God breathes life. No, I don't think that's powerful enough. I think God was pretty close when he said it. Hey, I hope you didn't have garlic for dinner. And God breathed life into him. And up from out of the ground, he's alive! Man is created, and that's right, God called him son because he's son. Okay, so now we now have Adam. And from Adam's rib, God put him to sleep first. He wasn't like that intense. Nurse! No, I'm just joking. God put him to sleep, and then from out of his side, God creates, listen to this. God creates the most wonderful, the most beautiful, the most exquisite looking creature. And from out of his side, God brings Eve. And now please hear this. Men and women are the crown of creation. And first, God creates men. But God says, hang on, we're not done. And so men, ladies, look at the men right now. Ladies, look at the men around you. And point at them, and say, you are refined dust. With the breath of God inside of you. But hang on. Check this out. Ladies, guys, point to the ladies and say, you are dust that's being doubly refined. See, because God made Adam, and then from his side, he made Eve. Do you know why God made Eve out of Adam's side? God took Eve out of Adam's side so that she would be under his arm. He didn't take her out of his feet so that he would be over her. He didn't take her from out of his head so that she would be over him. God took Eve from out of Adam's side under his arm so that she could be close to him, so he might protect her and nurture her. And this is how God created men and women to live, to love, to be with each other. John Paul, Tiago, and Joshua, I need your attention. Thank you. God creates humankind. And what did God say before he created men and women? Remind me. Come, let us make man in our image. So whose image do they bear? That's right. Thank you for that. I appreciate that, Matthew. That was perfect. So now God is here, and he says, this is man in our image. These are my sons. These are my daughters. And God puts them in the garden, and he says, you can eat of any tree that you want except for that one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then God leaves. Now, I find it interesting that God leaves. I mean, if I were God, I would have spoken to Adam and be like, yo, Adam, check it out. Okay. So next week, there's going to be this dude who comes to you named the Serpent. He's kind of slimy looking. Don't trust him. And he's going to tell you to eat from the fruit. Just don't do it. All right? Cool? All right. Peace. See you later. See you in the cool of the day. Peace. But God didn't do that. Why didn't God tell Adam? I think it's because God trusted Adam. And God trusted Eve. And God said, I'm going to trust you to protect our relationship and not eat from that tree. But we all know the story. They were out in the garden one day. They were out by the tree of life. They were standing by the tree of life. They were just chilling there. And Aaron, come here. Hurry up! Okay. So all of a sudden, everyone go, dun, 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 dun. We have, now in the Bible, we have the villain enters the story. And he looks kind of gangster. He's got a bandana on. His pants are kind of low. I don't know. I was just... Okay. And he slithers up. He goes a lot quicker. He slithers up. And he says to Eve, he says, has God said? Check this out. He says, has God said that you must not eat of the tree? And Eve says, yes. Yes, he has, because God knows that the day we eat of it, we will die. And Satan says, no, you will not die. He says, no, you will not die. Because God knows. Because God knows. We need a better serpent, man. Okay. God knows that in the day that you eat of the fruit, that you will become like him. That you'll become like him. What did the serpent just do? He lied. What did he say? He said, you need to go take from the fruit to be like God. But Adam and Eve are already like God. God made them in his image. God breathed his life, his spirit into them. And yet, they think maybe God's holding out. Maybe God doesn't have our best interest at heart. And so the lovely, bodacious, vivacious Eve takes from the fruit, eats of it, and gives it to Adam, who was with her. Adam wasn't far off. Adam was right beside her the whole time. And he eats of the fruit. He eats. That's my water. And God smote Adam and Eve. I'm just joking. This sling's getting a little bit tough. Okay. God did not smite Adam and Eve. Please get up, Adam and Eve. This is what happened. We all know the story. Adam and Eve now need to leave the garden. In their quest to be like God, they had failed. And so God needs to send them away. Why did God send them away from the garden? It was because God says, listen to this. Listen to this. If you've thought that God was an angry God, it's because God cares so much for them that he did not want them to eat from the tree of life and be forever stuck in their sinful state. Because of God's mercy and his kindness, he sent them out. And you can go and grab your seats. Thank you. Give them a hand. Because of the kindness, because of the love of God, he sent them out. And now, if you're a first-time reader of the Bible, you are thinking, oh no, this can't be the end of the story. What's going to happen next? Surely someone is going to be able to come to triumph over the serpent. Well, I'm so glad you asked that. Because if you turn, who's going to triumph over? I'm so glad you asked that. Turn to Matthew. Turn to the book of Matthew in your Bibles that you have. Matthew 4. Michael, come up here. Thank you for volunteering. Everyone, this is Michael Jetson. My nickname for him is the tank. This dude's a tank. No, a storm's a storm. Michael's a tank. I'm just letting you know. Okay. We have Jesus entering the picture. And in Matthew 3, verse 16, Jesus gets baptized. And there's a good-looking young man named John the Baptist who's very kind and humble. And, you know, he just loves God with all his heart. And so Jesus comes to him. And I won't be able to baptize you because of your shoulder, but I actually just dunk under. So Jesus, the tank, gets baptized. No, go all the way down. Go all the way down. Go all the way. No. Just go on your knees. Yes. And John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. And he can breathe. It's Jesus. Come on. Jesus gets baptized by John the Baptist. And as he comes up out of the water, the Bible says that the heavens are opened. And he sees the Spirit of God descending like a dove upon him. And storm. Hurry up. And I believe. Stand up. No. You need to stand up there. Okay, good. Stand. Your God. Stand on the. You're high. Okay. Jesus comes up out of the water, looks to heaven. Sees a dove landing upon him, and a voice from heaven, God the Father, says, "You are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased." What does God say? God speaks his identity into his Son. He says, "You are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased." And right away, the Spirit leads Jesus into the desert. Thank you, God. So, the Spirit leads Jesus into the desert to be tempted. And the serpent from Genesis. Everyone go, dun, 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 dun. If you're a first-time reader of the Bible, you're thinking, oh no, things are about to get a whole lot worse. I already know what this looks like. We've already seen this happen with Adam and Eve. Oh no. And the serpent enters. And he says to Jesus, the tank. He says, "If you are the Son of God, you're hungry, make these stones, turn them into bread." See, the devil says the exact same thing to Jesus that he said to Adam. He questions the identity that God had already spoken to him. And he says, "If you are the Son of God." And Jesus, just a couple chapters ago, God had already said to him, "You are my beloved Son." If you're talking back there, I need you to stop. David, I need you to pay attention. Disrespectful. We don't need that. Thank you. Okay. Listen, the very same thing that the devil said to Adam, the devil says to Jesus. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, no, hang on, because it's written that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And three times the devil tries to get Jesus to drop his identity. And three times Jesus rebukes him. Thank you, Jesus. Why is this so important? It's important because the enemy hates you. And he is asking you, who do you think you are? You think you're a son? You think you're a daughter of God? Who do you think you are? And God has already said to you, you are my son. You are my daughter. I love you. You are my beloved. Who are you going to believe tonight? Because the devil's trick is to make you work for something that's already yours. He says to Adam and Eve, you want to be like God, well, take from the tree, eat from it. You have to do something. God says, or Satan says to Jesus, oh, you want to prove that you're the Son of God? Do a miracle. Show us. And this is exactly how he speaks to us. Oh, you think you're loved? Really? Well, how many friends you got? When I was younger, you guys know I struggle with rejection. I used to measure how popular I was by how many birthday parties I was invited to. It's true. I mean, when I was in grade 4, one of my friends had a birthday party. I wasn't invited. I sidled up to him like, hey, can I come? Chalo, we'll have a great time. And he said yes. And I was so excited. Because I thought, if I get invited to lots of birthday parties, I'll be popular. I thought, if I had lots of friends, I'll be popular. I'll be loved. I used to stay out till 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning with my friends. We used to go to pool halls. They used to go drinking. We just used to stay out. And I would come home, and I would feel so alone when I walked into my house. All because the entire time I was trying to convince myself that I was loved because I could hang out with these people. The devil will always try to make you work for something that is already yours. God has said to you, you are my beloved, you are chosen, I love you. How are you going to respond to that? And I want to ask you this. What are you going to be doing? What do you want to do 5 years from now? Where are you going to be? I need a hand. Someone tell me. Micah, where do you want to be 5 years from now? What are you going to be doing? Celebrating the 5th year anniversary. Great. Seriously, what are you going to be doing 5 years from now, Matthew? Praising the Lord with my heart and following after him. Ernesto, sitting in a lecture hall. What university? Studying what? Oh, okay. What else? Pause. Sorry, I can't hear you. Say that again? You want to be where I am? Well, you can come and stand right. I mean, who else? Yes. You want to be like School of Ministry? Where? Which campus? Okay. What else? It does and it doesn't. I'll talk to you about that after because we don't have the time to go into that right now. Here's my point. How many of you know exactly where you're going to be 5 years from now? How many of you don't have a clue? How many of you are somewhere in between? Okay. You may not know where you're going to be 5 years from now, but who are you going to be 5 years from now? Who do you want to be 5 years from now? Because I need to let you know something. I have a surprise for you. You are a human being, not a human doing. What you do does not determine who you are. Whether I'm a janitor at McDonald's, whether I'm the president of the United States, whether I'm the prime minister of Canada, whether I'm a pastor, whether I'm a teacher, whether I'm a nurse, whether I train dogs, whether I build houses, whether I'm a house builder or not, that will not affect who I am. Who I am is a son of God. Who I am is loved, accepted, chosen, valued. I'm on the inside, and I'm precious to God. And there ain't no devil, there ain't no demon, there ain't no human that can tell me otherwise, because I know who I am. And I want to ask you tonight, who are you? Who are you? Because when I was your age, youth, I need your attention. I need you to listen to me because this is my heart for you. This is my prayer for you. When I was your age, I sat in this chapel and I determined with all my heart. I said, God, I will be someone who pursues after you. God, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how it comes. I don't care if my friends pursue after you. I don't care if my neighbors pursue after you. God, I will be someone who runs after you with all my heart. And I said, I committed my life to Jesus Christ. And I said to him, God, I will be a man of my word. God, I will be someone who is quick to forgive. I will be someone who will go and make things right when they're not right. I will be someone who's full of integrity, who's full of love, who's full of passion for you. And now, 5 years later, 10 years later, I am that because I set my heart to that. Where is your heart aimed right now? For some of you, your heart is aimed at your friends. You want to be cool with your friends. And so because of that, you compromise who you are. Some of you are so worried about what other people think of you that you haven't even given any thought to what you think of yourself. And this is why all of heaven and all of hell are waiting to hear this answer that you and only you can give. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you going to be? Forget what you're going to do. Who are you going to be? Are you going to be a person of God's presence? Are you going to be a person who seeks and presses into him? Are you going to be someone who just goes along with the crowd? Someone who just does whatever's cool at that moment? Who are you going to be? Because you have an opportunity, not just tonight, but you have an opportunity for the rest of this week, for the rest of this year, to get into this place with God and say, God, who are you calling me to be? And then everything that you do, you start to build your life around becoming that person. You start building your life upon becoming a man or a woman of integrity, a purity. I just got married in June. I have a great wife. I have a great wife. I love her with all my heart. I spoke to her on the dock earlier today. I miss her. But what I said when I was younger, when I was your age, when I was sitting at chapel, I said, God, I will not be intimate with any other woman besides my wife. God, I will not go past kissing in any relationship. That is who I'm going to be because I'm going to save myself for my wife. And I did. And it was hard. But I did. But there's something when you do that, when you say, God, I'm going to be a man, I'm going to be a woman after your heart. There's something that causes the blessings of God to come upon you. There's something that attracts God to you. And if you have already messed up in that area, you know what? God's grace is new every morning. And you can determine in your heart now, God, I messed up. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But God, I'm coming after you. I'm going to be a man. I'm going to be a woman of purity. See, all of heaven and all of hell tonight are asking you that question. Who do you think you are? Who are you? And what we're going to do is I have paper and I have pens. And we're going to take a couple minutes and ask God, God, who are we called to be? Who do you say we are, God? And we're going to write that down. And I want to let you know, I would read my Bible, God would convict me, and I would say, God, I'm going to be a man of integrity. God, I'm not going to lie. To this day, I hate lying. Like, I don't know how many of you guys play poker, but poker's all about bluffing and lying. And I feel so bad because it's only a game, but I'm pretending like I have these cards that I don't really have. Or, say I'm trying to surprise Hendria with a date. I'll have to lie to her, and I feel so bad. My parents had a 25th anniversary, And me, Dave, and Abby, we threw a party for them. And we invited all their friends. We had some family come from the States. Like it was big. And we surprised mom and dad. And man, I was lying out of my bum on that one. I felt so bad. And they walked into the room. They were so blown away. Dad started crying. Mom started crying. We had flowers for them. And I go up and I go to give mom a hug. And she's like, "You did this? You did this?" And I was like, all I could say, first words out of my mouth, "Mom, I'm so sorry for lying to you the past couple of weeks. I didn't know any other way to do it." And she's like, "Oh, son, it is okay. I love you." But it's true. I felt so bad for lying. In the same way, when you start setting your heart, setting your goal on what you're going to become, the power of the Spirit of God will come upon you and help you get there. But the opposite is also true. If you don't set a goal, if you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every single time. I sometimes wonder how Michael Jordan's life would have turned out. Because Michael Jordan, I don't know how many of you know him, he's a little bit past your generation. I used to look up to Michael Jordan as a kid. He was my hero. I wanted to be like him. He won 6 NBA championships. 6. That's crazy. He won 3 in a row, retired, came back, and won another 3 in a row. And you know what every writer says about Michael Jordan is that he's so competitive. He is so competitive. It doesn't matter what it is. You play pool, you play poker, you play golf. He will want to beat you, whoop you, put you into the pavement, make sure that you know who's the man. Who the man? I'm the man. That's right. I sometimes wonder how his life would have turned out if his goal was not to get the 6 NBA championships. Because he said, "I'm going to win a championship." And that everything he did was he ate, he breathed, he slept basketball. He would be up early in the gym. He would be making thousands upon thousands of free throws, thousands upon thousands of hours spent perfecting his shot. And yeah, he achieved his goal. What next? He retired, and his competitive nature was just driving him crazy. He came back and tried playing in the NBA again. And it was a little bit sad seeing this 39, 40-year-old man trying to keep up with 20-year-old kids because he was so competitive. That was his one goal in life. What happens when you achieve that goal? What are you aiming towards? What happens once you achieve it? Who is the person that you're going to be? Because I don't know about you, I had many, many big dreams. I still have many big dreams. I wanted to grow up. I wanted to grow, first of all, but that didn't happen. I want to grow up. I wanted to get married. I wanted to have a wife, a white picket fence, a golden Labrador, 2.5 kids, make a couple $1 million a year, and just live my life. But to what purpose? Once I achieved all that, who would I be? Would I be someone who has stabbed my friends in the back? Would I be someone who's cheated and lied and stolen to get my way to the top? Who are you going to be at the end of your life? What do you want written on your gravestone? I know we're young. Some of us are younger than others. That's okay, Sam. What do you want at the end of your life when you die and there's a gravestone on your grave? What do you want written on there? I want it to be said of me that I was Jonathan Shunker, a man who loved God and who loved people. I was known for his love. That's what I want written on my gravestone. And I'm working my way towards that. Well, I'm not working my way towards death. I'm working my way towards letting everyone know, letting all my friends, all my family, all the youth, all the young adults I pastor, that I love them. And that if I love them, how much more does God love them? That's my life message. That's what I want written on my gravestone. who are you going to be at the end of your life? Because if you, youth, if you make this decision now, you will live the rest of your life with purpose and with passion. You will not be like one of those people who goes around in circles. You won't even need to have a midlife crisis. You won't need to go out and get a red Corvette with, I mean, I want a red Corvette, but you won't need to go out and get it to validate who you are. Because you will be on that goal of, I am becoming the person that God has called me to be. God is calling you to be men and women of God. I want to see a generation raised up after me who runs after the presence and the purpose and the passion of God, who lays everything else down for the sake of the King. What are you living for? Because what you're living for will determine what you die for. What are you living for? Don't live your life just to get good grades. Don't live your life just to get a good job. Don't live your life to be comfortable. Live your life to lay it down for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and run after him with all your heart. Your life will be an adventure like you've never known.